CF United, the premier Cold Fusion Conference by TerraTech Programming. Created by developers for developers.
Okay, cool. So let's go ahead and get started. That's now warmed up enough for you guys to see it. You're in the right place if you're here for CFML Web Services Tips and Tricks. My name is Charlie Earhart, and there's my email address for any questions you may have. And I'll do a little more introduction of myself in a bit. But before I get started, I want to ask, how many folks were here for the beginning, the boot camp web services class that I did? Okay, cool. Just a few of you, and that's good. I just want to say to you guys that about 20% of what I show here is stuff that I did show along the way for you guys. I just knew that there'd be, like we see, a greater number of people coming to this that didn't go to that. And there's some things that I said to you guys that were really tips and tricks that I wanted to be able to share with the other folks as well. How many of you went to Ron West's presentation yesterday? I think it was even in the same room. He did an advanced web services talk and really did some mind-bending stuff, right? You know, talking about headers and changing endpoints and some really kind of powerful stuff. So that's really cool, too. I'll make a mention of that stuff. That stuff that's new in CF7, I'll make a mention of it towards the end. But really what I have to share here is stuff that will be of value to you regardless of whether you're using CFMX 6, 6.1, or even Blue Dragon. The things that I'll show here, except for that little bit, will be something that applies to any of the CFML servers that support web services. So what we will talk about is just some stuff that, again, I think from my experience working with web services and helping people solve problems with them, are things that you ought to know about. And maybe some of you might know all of them. I'll apologize for those who say they don't get anything new. I'd actually be curious at the end if I can remember to ask, did anybody not learn at least something? My goal is always that somebody will at least learn something. So one of the first things I want to talk about is how to test your web services, because I see so often people are having trouble due to just trying to get started with something, and I'll show you some tricks that are available both in Cold Fusion, in Blue Dragon, and also in third-party tools, free tools that you can use that can really help solve problems when you're trying to get started with web services. And then for those who maybe are really new to this stuff and haven't done it yet, I'll show you how to go about consuming a web service. I won't do it from the perspective that I did in the boot camp class of really walking through it very slowly. Instead, I'll dive right into something that I'm sure some of you are very interested in, something like, how do I do, you know, web services from Amazon? And sometimes people find that they have trouble getting started with things like that. So I'll show you a real running one. It'll run live right here in front of us and some of the challenges that we may face when we try such things. And when we do call some web service, often some of the problems we have to do with the data that gets returned, and there are some tips and tricks to be aware of there. And in particular, one thing that a lot of people seem to want to do is process .NET data sets, and I'll talk about a couple different solutions for that problem, some in Cold Fusion, some in Blue Dragon, just to make you be aware of those differences. And finally, some caveats, some details that you might need to know about, some of which I'll just point out for you to go look into on your own. And the cool news is that there is a lot of great reference and resource material. I had somebody come up the other day and say, you know, Charlie, have you done a book on web services yet? And I said, well, no, because honestly, in my mind, there isn't really enough to do a whole book, although I suppose I'm starting to maybe reconsider that because there's, you know, a lot of little details that could be pointed out. But the really good news is that there's excellent resources in the Macromedia or Adobe Cold Fusion manuals. So I'll point you to the specific chapters in the manuals. A lot of folks never read those manuals, and there's a whole chapter on web services and a lot of details that I don't have time to get into today. So I'll point you to some of those things just to make you aware of them and then tell you where to learn more. And that's going to be the focus for the presentation. Okay, so that's what we're going to cover in this talk. That's what it said in the description, and that's the bag of tips and tricks that I plan to show you guys today. A little background. Some of you guys know me as the former CTO of New Atlanta, the makers of Blue Dragon, but I left New Atlanta in April. Most folks know that by now, and it was right about the same time Tim was leaving Adobe. And I just, it wasn't anything bad. I'm still friends with him. I was watching their presentations the other day. It's just that I wanted to try some new stuff and really wanted to hang out and do some independent stuff. But a company called Garrison Enterprises came a-calling, and they made the classic offer too good to refuse. So I'm now working with them. They're based in Charlotte. And they're a six-year-old business that automates hotel, restaurant, and other sorts of inspections. States and counties all over the country do inspections, and it's been on paper for so many years, and Garrison automates that process, and it's a CF5 app that I'm going to help them re-architect with, you know, new frameworks and interfaces and that sort of stuff. So I've been working with Cold Fusion CFML for nearly 10 years now and been in IT for almost 25 years. I started right out of college here in D.C. at GW, worked at the State Department back in the 80s, and then did all sorts of things in mainframes, moving to Cold Fusion back in the mid-90s. I did co-author the CFMX Bible with Hal Helms and Adam and David Chervis. I've contributed about 40 articles to the CoFusion Developers Journal. I was previously the tech editor, and I am a certified advanced CF developer for 4.5 and MX, and was a certified instructor and Team Macromedia member in the past. And I speak at user groups all over the country and around the world. Okay, so just a quick review for those who, you know, different people coming from different perspectives. I do presume that you know the basics of how to create and consume a web service in this class. So again, there was a boot camp that covered the real fundamentals. If you missed that, that was on page 170 of your notes. And I'm sorry, I actually wanted to check it, but I didn't. Hopefully by now everybody's found it. Somebody tell me what page this class is on. Anybody? 235. Thank you. I'm sorry. I wanted to look that up for you. Page 235, if you'd like to follow along. But page 170 has the boot camp track class that I did. And so if you've never seen it before, let me just show you real quick. You know, this is how you invoke a web service in CFML. There are several ways. In the class I talked about using CF object, create object, and the differences between that and this. But one of the ways is you just say CF invoke, the name of the web service, and then the URL. And when it's a CFML page that you're calling, it's written as a CFC, and you add ?WSDL to the end. That's not always the same for everything. Some things you add .WSDL, some things you don't add anything, but in CFML, when we're calling a CFML web service, that's the way we do it. And then we give a name of a variable to hold the result, we give a name of the method to call, and whatever the result is, assuming it's a string, we can just dump it out. And we'll talk about in this class, well, how do you know if it's a string? Maybe it's an array, maybe it's a query, it could be anything. So we'll talk about how you can detect that and know what the right way is to output something. But assuming it's just a string, you can invoke such a simple web service just like that. It's amazingly simple in CFML, and that's, again, what the point of the first class was about. All those details under the covers of SOAP and SOAP objects and proxies and the communication in XML, all that stuff happens under the covers without you needing to really know anything about it until things kind of go awry, and we'll talk about some of that here in this class. But by and large, you don't need to know a thing about SOAP or XML to be able to run that two lines of code, and that's a really cool thing about CFML. It makes doing web services so easy. And when you're trying to call a web service, sometimes things may not go right, or you try writing it in that CF invoke and it doesn't give you the right response and you don't know why and you're trying to figure out what's going on. And there's a lot of things you can do other than write code that would help you figure out what's amiss or what's going on when you run that web service. Some of you may know about these, and maybe you know about this first one. You can put that URL on your browser, and if you put it on the browser, you'll get back a response that'll help you with some insight. There's also web-based tools, free tools, that you could take that URL, drop it into the tool, and it will give you some really valuable information back. And also Dreamweaver MX, if you've got that. Dreamweaver MX 2004 and 8 all have the ability to do web services inspection, and we'll take a look at that. So we'll see all three of these in the beginning of this talk, okay? And they will, and some of them even allow you to run the web service interactively. So some are just to look at information about the web service. Some will actually allow you to run the web service. So the viewing of the WSDL, WSDL, Web Services Description Language, we talked about that in the other class, is something that you can do by just putting the URL that you're trying to call in your browser and browsing it, and you'll get back, in the case of Internet Explorer, this kind of nicely formatted XML response. If you've never seen this before, haven't paid attention maybe, did you know that you can collapse things? So you can. That's the nice thing about IE is that it does enable you to collapse it and focus on what's of interest to you. That's just whenever you browse something that returns XML to it. When you browse a WSDL address, what you get back is the WSDL, which is XML that describes the web service. In this case, I'm running my little Hello CFC web service, obviously running on ColdFusion MX. And there's all sorts of information about the web service that's in there, and we don't have time to go into each of the one of them. That's not the goal of this class, but we can see here that I have a get hello method, and we can see that it expects a certain kind of response and or request, and it'll provide a certain kind of response. And there are times when investigating that in great detail can be valuable. Again, Ron West's class talked about actually manipulating the WSDL that gets returned when a web service is invoked on your server, and so there are some things you can do with that, but again, that's not the focus of this class. I just want to show you that if you are having problems trying to invoke a web service in code, one of the first things you should do is drop that URL for the WSDL into the browser and see what comes up, because if it comes up with anything other than something that looks like WSDL, or if the messages in there look like something other than lots of lines of stuff, and instead it's just a few lines that something's maybe an error, look closely at that. There may be something amiss, and you might be able to use that information. Certainly, if it doesn't give you WSDL at all, that tells you that the problem is on the other end or with the network between you and that other end, and that's something that you'll want to investigate. But you can also view the web service inside of Dreamweaver. And this is pretty nifty because it'll not only do that invocation of the web service, get the WSDL, and show you that kind of big XML detail that you have to parse through. Instead, it will tell you what the available methods are within the web service and even allow you to build code, CFML code, and actually ASP.NET code if you wanted to. So the trick, though, what trips people up when they try to do this is they never see this database bindings, server behavior, and components tab, and they're flummoxed by it. And the trick is you have to open a CFML page, You can't just start out with a blank new page. It has to be a dynamic ColdFusion page or a page you open that already exists. But by doing that, now I have these tabs under the application panel, and there's database binding, server behaviors, and components. And by default, this components choice is pre-selected to show CF components. But if you just drop it down to web services, well, now you see if you've defined or tried to browse in the past any previous web services. And if you haven't, you can add one. You just click on that add button, add the web service, and I'll go grab that URL that we were working with, which was the one I would have been trying to CF invoke, and I just drop that in there, leave it the proxy generator is ColdFusion MX, and that doesn't matter whether it's even, if you're using Blue Dragon, if you've got ColdFusion on the box, you can still use this approach using ColdFusion to do the generation of the proxy. Because what's interesting and valuable is just what comes up here on the left side of the screen. And there's my hello service, and there's my methods that were in it. We didn't look at it in detail, but there's a getHello method and there's a getPersonalHello method. And the getHello method doesn't take in any arguments, and the getPersonalHello method does take in an argument, takes in a string called fname. So A, that alone is useful if you've never done it, because sometimes you're just struggling to know what are the available methods in this web service. And also, did it respond? Was Dreamweaver able to talk to it? Maybe my CF code can't talk to it, but can Dreamweaver at least talk to it? But furthermore, if you didn't know about this, you can also build your code now. You could drag that getHello method. So look what I'm doing. I'm dragging that getHello method into my code and dropping it, and it builds the CF invoke with the name of the web service and the method and gives a return variable. I see some smiling faces. You didn't know about that? Yeah. So that's why I'm here, folks. I'm here for you. No, seriously, it's just amazing. I've seen this for, you know, this has been for now 4 years that this has been doing that, and it's a shame that there's just lots of little tricks like that that sometimes you just have never been shown. So no harm that you missed it. It's just unfortunate. But anyway, that's it. Yeah. And if I were to drag the one that took in an argument, then that also adds the CF invoke argument of fname down there. Okay, so yeah, it's simple as dragging and dropping. And the structs, that can be actually very useful, especially when you start calling things like the Amazon service and it says that it has these methods, and then you see that it expects this kind of request. What's an exchange request? Well, down here it explains what an exchange request is. So, you know, I won't go into that in great detail here, but that's very useful. So you can see that what it wanted was a string of all these things as a structure passed in. So we'll talk a little bit more about that stuff later when we get to the section on calling such data. So anyway, yep, Dreamweaver can do it. Now, some of you don't have Dreamweaver. Or, I'm sorry, you have a question? That was going to be your question. Does anybody know? I don't use Eclipse. Anybody know if Eclipse has a similar functionality? I would guess, but I don't know. Is that the right answer? Okay. I see some Adobe faces in here, but I won't pick on them. They want to stay anonymous. They can keep quiet there. But anybody want to jump in anytime, go ahead. Because I know what it's like. You get sucked into answering questions all the time, even in a presentation. We don't want that. So anyway, yes, thank you very much, Jeffrey. So apparently it may be new as a part of one of the new builds of CF Eclipse or the plugin for CF Eclipse. So check it out. But the good news is that even if you don't yet use Eclipse and it doesn't have it for you perhaps, or you don't use Dreamweaver, just don't have a license to it, there are other ways. And this can be very valuable. Anyway, that was doing the drag and drop invocation. But there are other tools out there on the web. If you ever go visit the website xmethods.net, which I'll mention again later as a cool place to go find available web services to go play with, on the xmethods.net site, they have a tool that allows you to look at their web services. And honestly, you can drop any WSDL into that. So it's at this xmethods.net URL. Let me go ahead and browse that. So there it is. It pops up and it has a place for me to drop in. Now, I cannot, unfortunately, let's just clarify this for anybody who might not get it. I can't drop that in and browse it because that's a service running out on the web, and it's not going to know how to come browse my localhost demo WSDL. So let me go grab one of the ones that we have that is a public web service. Like that. And I'll drop that in there. So this is the Amazon web service. And it might take a moment to do it searching, but it found 23 operations. And it tells us that we can go drill down and so we can see what kind it is. It's an RPC style. We'll talk a little bit about that stuff later. And then here are all of its methods. And for each of those, what does it expect as input and what will it provide as output? Okay, so it expects that as input. And so again, you can use this to analyze, figure things out. It can be very, very valuable. And that's just one of the ones that are available. Another is from MindReef, the folks who make, I can't remember the name of the product. Anybody remember? SoapScope. Thank you, SoapScope. But besides SoapScope, the commercial product, they also offer this free web-based sample to be able to not only see the description of the web service, but actually go ahead and run it and view the raw soap and all kinds of cool stuff. So let's take a look at that real quick. Again, this is the URL that you have in your browser. It'll come up in a moment. It's just taking a second to go get it. There it is. And it's got some that they've already offered that you can poke at, but you can also drop in any one you want. And it's going to go out and analyze that WSDL. Again, it'll take a couple moments because it's doing a lot of stuff, but once it's found it, it's going to come back and say, okay, these were the available methods in that thing. And it's a little framed interface, so we've got to scroll down. But there's the available methods. We can pick one, see what kind of inputs it expects. And if it weren't too complicated, we could even build the data and execute it. In this case, you have to build a pretty complex structure, and we won't try to do that. But a simpler one, if it just took a simple string, you could literally come here and run it. Okay, so there's a lot of cool features in there. Yeah, see, so we have to fill in all those values. But it'll let you fill in those values and hit send, and it'll actually run the web service, run that method on that web service, passing in that data, and let you see the results, let you see what would have been passed over to the service and what would have come back. So very, very valuable. We have a lot of things to cover, so I don't want to get into too much detail on that, but that alone, for some of you, may be worth the cost of admission, right, for coming here, because you're going to be able to solve your problems of working with web services. There's one other one I'll just throw out to you because it has some other advantages, the GMorpher. GMorpher.com does similar kind of stuff. If for some reason the other one wasn't ever available, come in here and drop it into there. It's just yet another one that can do the sort of same things. Okay. And you can either do it on the web or you can download it and run it locally. And it's free. And it's in your paper. So don't go right down this URL. If you've got the book, it's on page... What was it starting with? 280? 235. So is it on 245? Oh, okay. We're looking specifically at 235 right now. Okay, so it's there. And also, Microsoft's got their tool InfoPath that can also do web services. And there's a couple of links to descriptions of how to work with InfoPath to do that testing of web services for you to look at if you're interested in using InfoPath. Also, I'm sorry, Altova's XML Spy is another great product, commercial product, can be pretty pricey, can be found in various ways, packaged free or low cost if you look around hard enough. But anyway, there you go, XML Spy. And the point I was making earlier is don't forget, you've got to be accessible. The service you're going to test has got to be accessible, so you just can't test your code that's running on localhost. Although that's where either Dreamweaver can help, because Dreamweaver can certainly do it. We did that with mine. Or if you download that last GGopher tool, since you could download that, that also you could use it to run against a local host. And, of course, if you're on a server in your environment, if it's behind a firewall, if it can't be accessed for some reason, you won't be able to test it. So just keep that in mind. Okay. So one other little tip to be aware of is, did you know that if you're trying to execute a web service, like let's say you already knew about putting in the URL for the WSDL to get back the WSDL, but the problem is you're not getting back what you think you should be getting back, did you know that you can actually execute the web service on the browser? You don't need to write code to see what the web service would return, if it's something relatively simple, but especially if it doesn't take any arguments at all. So I can browse my get hello So it's my Hello CSC, calling the method get hello, and I got back the result, hello world. Again, we didn't look at it in detail, but it's in the basics camp that it just returns hello world. But my point is, do you see that I'm saying method equals get hello? A lot of folks don't know that. You can put the method on the URL and it'll execute the web service, and if it doesn't take any input, then it'll certainly work. And if it takes input, we can also pass it input. But the thing that's worth knowing about is that when you look at that, you think that's a string that came back. I showed the screen briefly, so maybe I've already shown my trick, but what is that really? Anybody know what that really is? When you run it this way, is that a string?
XML.
It's XML. What kind of XML is it? Let's take a look. View source. It's a WDDX packet. It's a WDDX packet. This is Cold Fusion. When you execute a web service just through the URL, I don't want to confuse you. I'm not saying that when you call web services using CF Invoke that it's passed around using WDDX. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that when you browse it on the URL that way, and perhaps it was a decision because the data coming back could be something other than a simple string, it gets returned to you as a WDDX packet. But fortunately, when it's a string, it just shows up on screen as a string, and that's okay. So again, this is only significant if you, for instance, were to use a CFHTTP to call the web service. If you think you're getting back a string, you're not. You're getting back a WDDX packet, so be aware of that. But that's really, again, that's not really calling web services in the classic sense. When you do CF Invoke, it's not doing WDDX. But it's just something interesting to know. So it is a WDDX packet. And by the way, in your notes, I showed this instead. The bottom graphic was attributed to being what came back from CF, and I got the graphics wrong. Blue Dragon also returns XML, but it returns the SOAP packet with the XML string saying hello world. So there's just a subtle difference. They're both XML, and neither of them matters really when you're invoking it using CF Invoke. But when you browse it on a URL, one gives you back WDDX, one gives you back a SOAP packet. Just be aware of that difference. Here's another little trick. We had written code that did invokes of web service using CF Invoke, like this one. CF Invoke, web service equals, and all that stuff. Now, when we build CF queries, we don't go putting the whole data source connection string on our CF query, right? I mean, a long time ago, we used to do that. But then we had data sources. And you could define the data source in the administrator, and you just say the name of the data source, CF query data source equals, and the name of the data source. And all the details about the data source were hidden in the administrator. Well, guess what? The same thing is true of web services. While I can certainly invoke a web service this way and say all that, I can also give the web service an alias in the administrator. And then I could use that alias instead. Instead of saying all this stuff, I could just say the alias to the web service. A lot of folks haven't seen that, but it's a feature in the administrator. Let me call up the CFMX. And this is in CFMX 6.6.1. This machine has changed the projector has changed my resolution some, so things weren't quite where I expected them to be. So anyway, let's take a look at the CFMX7 administrator and come down here under web service. And this isn't new in 7. I want to repeat that. This is true in 6, 6.1, and 7. There's this, under data and services, there's a button there called web services. And in there, you could put in an alias for a web service, the WSDL for the web service, and if it took a username and password, you could provide that. Click add. So you could do that. You could do that. If you haven't invoked it yet, you could certainly do that. However, every time you invoke a web service in Cold Fusion, under the covers, it's making an entry in here. Some of you have probably seen this before. So that's what all those things are for. You're like, where are those coming from? Every time you invoke a web service, this is just some information about the underlying details of the proxy stubs and stuff like that that are getting created on your behalf. But I'm just looking at it from this kind of a higher level perspective of this is a place where you could give the web service an alias. That's another benefit of this. So I could come in here, and we're talking about my hello.cfc WSDL. Find my hello. There it is, hello.cfc WSDL. Click on that link. Give it a new name. Update the web service. And now I should be able to invoke it with test. And it worked. So, yeah, that's just kind of nice in that now if you have a lot of invocations of web services all over the place, you could maybe tighten up your code. It's certainly a level of abstraction, because now what happens if the web service WSDL address changes? You don't have to go find all the code that's calling it. You can just go into the administrator, change it in there, and as long as everybody calling it is using that alias, you've just added a level of abstraction. So that's kind of nice. Any questions on that? Comments?
Yep.
Hold on. You're getting ahead of me. We'll get to that stuff later. I said I'm just talking about this from that high-level perspective of its value as giving us aliases. There's more to it. Yeah, absolutely. We'll get to that. In fact, it may be coming up in just a moment, but hold that thought. Okay, so then we can invoke it, and we saw that the entry is already there, and the admin console listing of each web service we browse, it has another use, the internal auto-caching of the WSDL. So this admin console information has another value, which is it's not just a place for aliases. It's also something that we can use to manage the caching that happens on the background when we run a CFML request that makes an invocation of web service. I said that under the covers, a lot of dirty work gets handled on our part. Some stuff about, you know, both the XML and the processing and the SOAP communication, but also the generation of a proxy stub that gets built for you by both ColdFusion and Blue Dragon. And ColdFusion caches the proxy stub for the web service that you browsed. And sometimes it will be helpful, as the gentleman was trying to point out, it'll be helpful for you to either refresh or remove what got cached, especially when you're building and testing your own web services, changing them frequently. And certainly if for some reason the web service you're calling has changed since it was last updated. And I think that the cache is automatically refreshed at each restart of the server.
Yep.
Each restart of ColdFusion, it does refresh it. But if in the middle of the day, or if, again, if you're expecting just wackiness when you try to run a web service, one of the first things to do is to come in here, come into that admin console, find that web service that you're trying to invoke, and hit the middle button. If you hold the mouse over it, we see that the left one is to edit it. The right one is to delete it if you wanted to. And you could just delete it and rerun it, but you can also just click refresh, and that will cause ColdFusion to go out and do what it did under the covers normally the first time you called the web service and build the stub. I just want to be really clear, this has nothing to do with getting the data from the web service. It's not that the data is being cached, the result's not being cached. That's an easy misconception. This is just about the proxy stub, the underlying kind of dirty work that ColdFusion is doing on your behalf to make it easy to call web services. That gets cached once for the life of a CF server, and you can refresh it if you ever need to. Okay? Yeah.
I've had issues where I've added another argument for what service. I could never get it done right until
I. Did you ever try using this? Yeah, no, that's the thing. All the edit would have done was change that information, like changing the name. So if you want to refresh it, I would say anybody. He was asking, he had an instance. Well, actually, I'll just say I'm pretty confident that was your problem. He just had an instance where he changed a method and it just could not get running right, and I'll bet that the refresh would have worked. Okay? But I'm sure somebody there is saying, well, hey, man, this is all really cool, but I work in a hosted environment, or I work in a site where there's somebody who controls the server, and he's not going to give me access to the admin console. So that sounds great, but I can't use that. Well, guess what? There's a way to do it without access to the admin console. Yes, you can do it programmatically. I don't know if it's available, and actually maybe somebody can tell me, is it available in the new admin API in 7? A lot of this stuff I wrote back before 7, this class I presented for the first time a couple years ago, so it was before 7 came out, and this way of doing things works for CF6 and 7, but 7, actually, thank you for clarifying that, Tom, 7 would have the admin API, so you probably shouldn't use this if you're using 7 or above, only in the sense that you should use the admin API instead. But if you're using 6 or 6.1 or 7, check it out. You can place this in your server, and I've designed it such that you can pass in WSDL as a URL variable called WSDL URL. And when you run it, it will call the service factory in ColdFusion and automatically refresh the service. So it is using the undocumented ColdFusion server service factory, but it will work. And I got this from Tariq Ahmed, who actually got it or Mark Kruger built it. So there's where I found it. But anyway, cool stuff. It's in your presentation. You'll be able to use this. And you may, if you're concerned about this being abused, you could put this in a secure directory so that people can't do any mischief against it. Okay? Is there a question, Larry? Blue Dragon doesn't cash the Wizzle that way, for better or worse. I mean, one could argue that there's reasons why they probably should have, but they didn't, so they don't need to worry about this. Okay, so that's some cool background stuff. If you haven't tried it, there's all kinds of commercial web services out there that you can go play with. Ones from Amazon, Google, UPS, the USPS, FedEx, and more. In the previous presentation I just showed them, here are the actual URLs that you can go learn more about them for those that are interested in that sort of stuff. And some of them permit you to do transactions. Sometimes they're free, sometimes they charge a fee. Sometimes you just have to have an ID. Sometimes they'll use a more complex security mechanism to control it. Amazon's particularly interesting. A lot of people get interested in taking advantage of it. I mean, think about it. Amazon's got all kinds of stuff. It's not just books, naturally, anymore. All kinds of stuff. And they've exposed all their content and their e-commerce functionality as web services. So you can get detailed product information. You can get images. That might be useful. Some people might want to just go grab the little image that they have, maybe for a book that they have, and they haven't taken a picture of the book. Go grab the image from Amazon. You can get the customer reviews. You can do searches, and not just simple keyword searches, but very elaborate, extended searches. You can do a shopping cart. They provided a mechanism for you to host a shopping cart on your server, and then when it's ready to buy, you send it over web services to their service and buy the product. And the wish list and all kinds of stuff just goes on and on and on. Really amazing. And I know a lot of people are very interested in this, and they go and try to figure it out. And there have been different articles over the years. The problem is, the web services change, unfortunately, and they do come up with new URLs and say, you know, this is going to be this version and this is going to be that version, but eventually some of the old versions just don't work anymore. So it's sometimes a bit of a chasing your tail kind of problem. So I do want to show you an example of going ahead and invoking the Amazon Web Service. When you want to do the invocation of the Amazon Web Services, you do need to get from them the kind of keys to the kingdom there. You need to have an account, you need the account number, an access key ID, a subscription ID, and a developer token. And all these things are things that will help you access various parts of the site, and you need them at various points during the process. It is free, but the last time I looked, they limit you to one request per second per IP address from which a request is being made. So the request is going to be made from your server, right? It's not the IP address of the client. It's the IP address of your server that's doing the invocation of the web service. They're saying you can only get one request per second. And you know, they're giving it away free, so they just don't want you abusing it. And they want you to not give away your IDs. Don't give away your IDs because somebody else will take them and they could be using it in the time that you're trying to use it and it'll be denied because they won't let more than one request per second in. They support two kinds of web services. Now, everything I've been talking about to this point is really SOAP web services, SOAP, Simple Object Access Protocol. That's the way under the covers that both ColdFusion and Blue Dragon have implemented the web services invocation in CF Invoke and CF Object. But there's also another approach to web services, you know, whether you want to call it that or not, but it's another approach to doing this kind of remote programmatic access to data called REST. And they have different URLs, and you can use either one, and I want to talk a little bit about each. So SOAP is XML-based. Under the covers, ColdFusion Blue Dragon will package up the request to the server in an XML envelope, and whatever clients use that know how to handle that under the covers. You get back whatever data type was sent. You don't need to worry about XML. So if it sent a string, you get back a string. You don't need to worry about the XML. Okay? And then REST is another approach. REST is a way of doing communication to a server where you would really do an HTTP request and get back plain old XML, not a SOAP XML packet, but an XML packet of data, and you could call it using CFHTTP, or you can test it on a browser, or there's a CFXML RPC tag in Blue Dragon. So you can process the result when it comes back. Since it's XML, you can process the result as XML. How do we process XML in ColdFusion? Anybody been using CFMX enough to remember that function? What function in CFMX can take an XML object string of XML parse, and we'll talk about that. XML parse will take an XML string of stuff and turn it into an internal object that'll work like arrays of structures and structures of arrays with all kinds of useful extra data about the XML. Anyway, about REST, I'll just tell you, you can learn more about it and about XML RPC and sort of things at these couple of URLs, so check it out. The nice thing about them is that they do work via CF HTTP. They also do work via a browser URL. They do work return XML. If you look at that XML in IE formats it nicely. One other benefit I didn't think of, what's another great benefit of REST for some CFML folks? They can do it in CF5. Yeah, so if you're still using CF5 and you don't have CF Invoke, you could use CF HTTP and call a REST web service. So could be very interesting. So if you go to the Amazon website, you'll see they have incredible documentation, lots of detail about all their methods, all the properties, what gets passed in, what gets returned, how you're supposed to reformat it, how you call their web service, and they even have an XML scratchpad tool to help you build that web service. So that can all be very useful when you're getting started. In the interest of time, I just want to dive right into doing it, and there's even books out there. But I'm saying there's more than just books. Did you know you can use Amazon's web service even to find restaurants? You can. Amazon now provides that information. You can get back seafood restaurants in Seattle. There is a way to find that as an example. So let's talk about building that in a request to Amazon. So in the case of a REST-based request, sorry, this is a SOAP-based request, but let's go ahead and run it. Let's run it first and then look at it in pieces. And let's look closely at what that was doing. So it's going to call the Amazon Web Service via URL, pass in my subscription ID, and then do a search, item search, saying search index equals restaurants, cuisine equals seafood, and neighborhood equals downtown, city equals Seattle. So you didn't have to remember all that stuff, but you just go to their website, and you learn that there are these arguments that get passed into that particular method, and you can get back that result. And here I did put all that in there. And out came the response with information about Seattle Seafood Restaurants downtown. And then here's what we found down here, McCormick and Schmick's and the Fish House. Okay, so that's interesting that you can do that on the browser, because that can sometimes help you when you're getting started with this stuff, figure out what's going wrong. And I could have done it in a CFHTTP. And I do think I had a piece of code doing that. Yep. So here's the CFHTTP of the same URL, and then I'm just going to dump the good old classic CFHTTP file content. And there's that same bunch of stuff. And it is a big old honking XML packet, which I could read in using XML parse and process. And I don't do that in this particular example, but let me throw in some props for a really awesome article. And actually, it's covered well in the documentation as well. So I guess the first thing I should say is read the documentation about processing XML in CFML. But also, back when CFMX came out, Nate Weiss, who was a contributor to Ben's ColdFusion Web Application Construction Kit book, he did an awesome chapter on XML processing in CFML. And talked about XSLT and using XML path and XML search and all those other things that go with the process of manipulating XML. And I've just always recommended that. It's about a 30-page article, and it's available on the web. I don't know that I have the URL in here, but it's reminded me about it. So I'll just say that if you have not yet gotten into using XML parse and XML search and the CFXML tag, just do a Google search for Nate Weiss, W-E-I-S-S. W-E-I-S-S, Nate Weiss, XML, and ColdFusion. Put those keywords in, and I'm pretty sure that'll come up. In fact, let's just go ahead and prove it. Nate Weiss, XML, ColdFusion. There you go. And it's the second thing that came up. There's his website. There's his XML article. It's a big PDF, 30 pages, but it is so awesome. It's the best, hour you'll spend. You'll just be amazed at the things you can do with CFML. And this is going back to CFMX, and it applies to 7 and Blue Dragon. Okay. So what's interesting to some of you is, all right, yes, I can test it on a browser. Yes, I could do CFHTTP using their REST-based web service. But what I really want to do is invoke their web service. And every time I've tried it, it hasn't worked. So can you help me there? Yes, I can. Here is how to invoke the Amazon SOAP web service. It's a three pages of code for you. It's in your documentation there. And it's just my approach to doing it, and actually built from some stuff I think I found somewhere. Anyway, I recognize this. This looks like I must have built it using Dreamweaver, because when you use that Dreamweaver drag and drop stuff, it uses things like a keyword request. So anyway, I build a structure, and again, you could read the docs to learn about what you're supposed to do, or you could use Dreamweaver. That's what I've done, and I drag this in, and it built the CF invoke arguments, but I split it into doing CF script instead. But I'm building a structure describing the request, because it told me that it wanted all these things passed in. So I'm passing in the dev tag and the keyword, which is really what I want to search on. I'm looking for a book, so I say loaded with books. I describe that I want to sort it this way. It tells us, some of these things it tells me I just need to pass in. There's a light type of search and a longer type of search. Here's where the real magic happens. Now I'm doing a CF try. I talked about this in the basics class. You ought to wrap any invocation of web service in a CF try and catch it in case something goes amiss. But here I'm invoking the web service. They tell me the URL. They tell me the name of the WSDL. They tell me the keyword, the method to call. And then they told me what kind of thing to pass in. And I'm passing in that structure that I built. And I'm using CF invoke argument. We talked in the last class about how I could have passed that in also on the CF invoke itself, and also how I could have done it with create object or CF object. And we talked about the differences there. So I know some of you would say, well, I wouldn't use CF invoke because this and that and this and that. We talked about that in the other class. Anyway, after invoking the web service, we get back a result in a product info. And a product info is going to have the information that we want, but I'm saying here, if we had any error, and if the error's message said we couldn't perform the web service, my experience is that if what you pass in doesn't return a valid result, it doesn't come back as empty. It comes back with an error saying it could perform the web service. So sometimes when you're invoking this and you think things aren't working right, it's not that you've got it wrong, it's just that the keywords you put in didn't provide a valid result. Otherwise, if it didn't say that, then I'll say, I don't know what happened. Something happened, and I don't know what to do about it, so let's just stop. So I dump out the CF cache variable, showing whatever else might be in there, and I abort in either case. But if I haven't got an error, I get past the abort, I get past the cache, I get past the try, and the final magic is, how do I process that result? And since these are being recorded for future people, and I don't know if that sound gets recorded when I'm standing over there, probably not so well, I'm going to try to stay close here. The last page, the third page, is assuming I did the invoke and it worked, what can I do? Well, the result was a variable. Remember, it said return variable a product info. A product info has all kinds of things in it. One of the things it has in it is total results. That tells me how many results I found. I show what I was searching for. And then I know I'm an old school guy. I'm not using CSS. I'm using tables to build this. But, you know, rework it for yourself if you'd hate to see that. But I'm looping over, building a table, saying for each of the information that I got back, there's a product info details array, and for whatever number of elements there are in that array, loop over it and look at each array element and get the image, there's an image, and the product name, and let's look at the first of whatever the array of authors is. Now that's going to change, you know, different things are going to come back with different things. You know, if I didn't ask for a book, I wouldn't have authors. If it was a movie, I'd have director. So, you know, you need to look at the Amazon resources, but I'm just giving you one that that just works, and you should be able to take it and run with it. Let's go ahead and run that. So invoke the Amazon SOAP web service. And on one of these pages, it's running. I'll do it one more time. I don't know which one it's opening. Oh, it opened it. Sorry. Opened it as CFML. So there's the code. And let's go ahead and run that. And it's running. And we'll come back in a moment with the list of books. I think I was looking at Cold Fusion books. Now, that delay is interesting. Let me speak about this while we're looking at it. I have not put any kind of timeout on the CF invoke. As of 6.1, I could put a timeout attribute on here, and I could limit how long I'd be willing to wait. Well, good, it finally came back. But if I wasn't willing to wait more than a few seconds, if my users might get frustrated at more than 5 seconds wait, I could have timed it out. But it took whatever time it took while we were looking at that. But there is that result, 105 books on Cold Fusion, sorted, I believe, by popularity, what ones have sold the most. So cool to see. Ben's books are great. Here's both the basic web application construction kit and the advanced one. Here's our CF Bible. I really didn't expect that to show up, but that's cool to see. And somehow, Cold Fusion's mentioned in learning PHP. I don't get that, but it's in there somewhere. I don't know how that got there. But it's a keyword search, and somehow Amazon's results are finding that. But anyway, very cool, right? So it really does work. If you've had anybody say, I can't get Amazon Web Services to work, you've got the code now. It does work. It absolutely does work. It's just challenging to figure some stuff out. And again, that's what I want to kind of focus on as we have the remainder time here. And how are we doing on time? 10:32, so we have 12 minutes. Right, go till. Okay, so some other public services that are available, there are whole directories listing them, X methods, a lot of folks know about service objects, maybe you don't know about webservicex.net. These are just places where you can find available web services to do exploration with. And I looked at these a little bit in the last class, in the interest of time, I'll just show you that they're screenshots. You can go look at the available web services at X methods. And it has all kinds of interesting ones, including a web service that will validate email. Validate email. And it doesn't just try to validate the kind of string, but it actually does try to check the email, if I remember correctly. I haven't looked at it in a while, so I'm sorry, I can't remember. But it's there at webservicex.net, and this is just an example of how to do it, how to call it. You invoke the web service, and I'm using CF object to do it. So I get back a name called checkmail, so I'm going to use checkmail. Dot is valid email, that's the name of the method on that service, pass in an email address, and it will come back and tell me if it's good or bad. If it's in your code, it's in your book, you can try that yourself. Okay? That would be a way to test it. Now, so yeah, it does. It tries to check the service, actually it does try to check the email, not just validates it, and some mail servers will return true for any email address, even if it's not a valid one. So, unfortunately, you can't always trust that it gives you back something that confirms, yes, this is a person who really does exist, but at least does validate the domain name, and it does validate that the email address fits the pattern that you'd expect. More important for a lot of folks is the challenge they face in trying to work with the data that comes back from a web service. There's all kinds of data that can come back. Strings, arrays of structures, query results, and there's a caveat with returning query results, and XML objects, just to name a few. And sometimes it's hard for you to know what kind of data was it. Well, the cool news is that you can't know. There's nothing built into CFML to tell you, but there is a function, a UDF, a user-defined function, out at the CFLive site. So at cflive.org, there's a function called isType, or typeof. We'll see it in a moment. Sorry, I don't know why I don't have it listed there. Typeof. Typeof is the name of the function, and it will tell you, for a given variable you pass it, is it an array, is it a struct, is it a query, and on and on and on. And that could be useful for you to write some code that says, depending on the type, do this certain thing with the result. This is a new slide that isn't in your book, and all these slides, because all of us had the opportunity to maybe tweak them a little bit, I've tried to avoid that, but this one slide will be in the presentation that will be given to CF United, and they'll put it up on the website. So on your CD is the current one, not this one. This one will be available on the website. And don't try to write all this down. I just wanted to show you, sometimes when you're trying to process web services, some things can happen, and it'll be helpful for you to know how to resolve that. So I'm going to invoke another open web service called StockQuotes, pass in the getQuote, and it's going to give me back this response called quote result. And I'm going to pass in a particular symbol. What I found is that when I tried to process it, it was a little bit wiggy trying to figure it out. And so I'm showing you some of the tricks that I used. I mean, I did a CF dump here to see what was in there, and I couldn't see anything really useful. But there is available method that comes back from all these web services called getAny. And that allowed me to see that there was an array of stuff that came back. So I put that result into this array. And then I was able to go, again, dump it and figure out that I wanted the first element in that array. And then I was able to use a two-string function against that result. So these things wouldn't be obvious sometimes. And I'm saying you could do CF dumps to figure it out, but also here are some of the common things you might find. You do a getAny, you get an array, get the first array element, and then if the result from coming back is just a string, if it is just a string, it isn't always going to be a string, but if it is, you could dump out the string using the toString. Sometimes you have to coerce the result with the toString function. ToString is a built-in function in CFML. and so then I would end up with my result. So I had to go through some hoops to get that, but it did work. And, sorry, in this case, what it was an XML element. In this case, the string that I got back was a string of XML, and then I passed that string of XML into the XML parse function and got a variable I called XML that I was able then to dump, and I got my result. Again, we can see that this worked. I just lost my mapping somehow. How'd that happen? Anyway, it does work. Just I know somebody's going to ask me. Yeah, I'm going to grab it. I don't know what happened just then, but I'm going to just drop it in. So there it is. So the result was a big, long string of XML, and I passed that into XML parse and then dumped it, and what I got was the stock quote variable that had all these things inside of it, including the symbol and the price and some other things. So you could use that result. And again, read Nate's book then about how you, or article, to learn how to process the XML once you've got it. It's just a little bonus thing there that I thought was helpful as a tip and a trick. Sometimes when you're processing, when you're trying to return query results, it might be better for you to provide to a non-CF consumer an array of structures or a structure of arrays. And there are functions in CFML that will turn a query into an array of structures. They're in the cflive.org site. So again, these are in your book, and you can go get them and try them out, and they convert them all the different ways that could be useful for you. Calling a .NET web service, what if you have to call a .NET web service? I have slide on the next code for an ASMX file. Well, the invocation's the same, doesn't matter. Cold Fusion doesn't care what it's calling. You say CF invoke, you say that, you get back some result. And if what you're calling is an ASMX, and here's an ASMX that happens to just do a Hello World web service, the problem is when you call it in CFMX, what you get back is an object with some complex objects of ill-defined XML entries. There's an article that was written that talks about this. Now, actually, let me stop for a second and say that, again, I wrote this probably 2 years ago, and is there any difference, Tom, in processing, anything new since 6.1 in processing a .NET web service? Let's try it. Yes, there it is. So this will be running it in CFMX 7. So I just don't know if I had tried this again since having CFMX 7 on the box. And it's the first time I'm making a request against that ASMX, so in the background it was starting up the .NET environment. And so it worked for the Hello World. There you go. So I have to say whatever I was saying wasn't working before seems to have been fixed. Can you think of anything, Tom, that I'm... Sorry? Access is improved. Okay, awesome. Okay, so I'm sorry, I have to update this slide. That's not a data set, though. That's just a string. That was just a string. But anyway, so there's a couple of articles here from a gentleman that talks about processing an XML data set. There you go. This one may be doing something a little bit more. Yes, that one I think is calling a data set. Let's take a look at it real quick. So it's called getinfo.asmx. Right, and so here's the getinfo.asmx that I wrote that is more complex, and it is building a data set and returning the data set to whoever calls it. So when I call it in Cold Fusion, I got this sort of stuff. And again, I could use the getAny and parse things apart. And there was an article that talked about how to parse that apart. So it's some of the hints of what I showed in that other example. This gentleman wrote an article that talks about it, and that's worth looking at. I'll just want to point it out that when I was working with New Atlanta, I found that Blue Dragon did that very easily. When it called that web service, what it got back was just a query result. Blue Dragon converted that data set into a query result. So for those who need that, just take a look at that if that interests you. You literally just got back a query result. All the dirty details were handled under the cover. In closing, I just want to point out there's things you ought to learn about exception handling, timing out. Again, I pointed out that was added in 6.1, so that's great. Security, take a look at the security features that are built into invoking web services. There is a username and password when you're just doing basic authentication against a web service. There's integration with CF login and login user if you're serving up a web service that can be used with the CF function tag. You should think about caching the result of a web service. If you're going to be calling this web service more than a few times today and the result changing doesn't really matter, then you want to cache that result. And that's just something you need to do for yourself. There's nothing built in currently into CFML to do it. But you could store it in the session variable, store it in an application variable, whatever made sense, and then use some timing mechanism to determine when to refresh it. There's a whole lot more you can learn. I wanted to make this clear to you because I know I didn't cover a lot of stuff, perhaps something somebody might have wanted to learn. I didn't really get into the details of working with WSDL files. You can. We didn't talk too much about generating web services that don't come, or consuming web services that don't come from CFML. There's discussion of that in the docs. All these are in that chapter in the manual on doing web services in CFML. There's ways to invoke web services from Flash clients, and naturally some stuff in Flex now as well. Doing error processing, that stuff I talked about, configuring web services, and on and on and on. Complex data types. One thing I want to make sure you know about, because again, I didn't have this in my bullets when I first wrote the slide, thank you, sir, is that in the CF7 version of the manual, there's a new section called Using SOAP Requests and Response Headers. And that might be very interesting to some of you who need to do some tighter manipulation of things from certain web services. And I didn't have time to get into request and response headers, but that is supported in CF7, and there is a section in the manual that talks about that. So yeah, go ahead and write that down. And again, this will be on your new slides available on the website. Where can you learn more? Well, there's Chapter 32 in the CFMX 6.1 version of the docs and 36 in CF7's version of the docs that also change names, but they are basically the user's guide to working with ColdFusion. A lot of people don't know these books are even there. They're like 900 pages. There's a 900-page free book that's available in the Macromedia documentation, and it's available either in your install of ColdFusion or at livedocs.macromedia.com, which will redirect you to Adobe. We covered it in our book. Rob Brooks Bilson covered it in his book, and other books have covered it as well. And in fact, Rob's book's chapter is available online, and that's in your handout. There's been all kinds of articles offered. I listed them in my previous talk on Wednesday, so go back and look at that. I have like 3 pages of articles that have been done and some more recent ones that talk a little about things related to what we talked about here. And then here's a whole new page again of new stuff. Let me just tell you, Tom Jordahl, who's been sitting in here, has done a couple of blog entries recently that might be really compelling for some of you about getting and setting cookies in SOAP headers. And he says that's maybe not something that you should have to be doing. There are other ways that things should be done. But if you need to, you can do it. And he wrote these great blog entries talking about that. So I wanted to make you aware of them. So just remember nothing else, tjordahl.blogspot.com, and then just do a search for SOAP and web services. Either one. One will get you one. The other will get the other, I found, as I was looking for it. One doesn't mention SOAP, so you can't just search for SOAP. And then Dave Shook, who's here at the conference, he has an interesting page on his site of showing CF code calling web services, and that'll probably be evolving over time, so do check that out. And then also in ColdFusion, there's a sniffer, a TCP monitor, that's discussed in the last section of the chapter on doing web services that I pointed to. And that's very interesting to look at. Here's the specific link to it. Again, I don't expect you to write this down, but you'll be able to click on it when you get the PDF later from the download. Anyway, that can be useful to watch the communication going on between the server and the client, and that's really worth looking at. And then Ron West had done his advanced presentation. Take a look at his slides if you didn't catch that. So in summary, web services are really very easy to create and consume. We've got to love that. There are useful tools to help us in testing them, whether Dreamweaver or in the browser or using some tool on a website. We've seen how to explore some public web services like Amazon. We've seen some techniques for processing the return data. And don't forget some of those tips about security and caching and sort of things like that. If you have any questions, contact me. The email address on the last slide is mistaken. It still has my new Atlanta address. Please use charlie@carehart.org, carehart.org. And I'll look forward to your questions and comments. And I thank you very much for your time. And I hope you enjoy the presentation.
Thank you for listening, and we hope we will see you at CF United 2007. This has been a production by TerraTech Programming. For more information, go to www.cfunited.com.